All right, so you've spent your time in school really refining your technical skills and knowledge, but you understand that clinical practice is messy. You realize that strong interpersonal connections, communication skills, and the ability to think critically are crucial for success in clinical practice.
If only there was a clinical mentorship process aimed exactly at that.
Oh, wait, there is. Enter the Level Up Initiative, your solution for quality mentorship for students and new grads targeted at helping to cultivate top-notch critical skills and communication skills. Oh, and did we mention it's free?
Yep, you heard that right. If you want to develop these critical skills and connect with a badass network of forward-thinking providers, then the Level Up Initiative is for you.
Their next enrollment process opens June 15th for an August 1st start date.
Head on over to www.thelevelupinitiative.com and learn more about what they do and see why over 1,000 students and new grads have trusted Level Up Initiative in helping them grow. Feel free to reach out to us directly with any questions.
See you in June.
What's up, Duck Legs listeners? Jared Aguilar coming at you. Hope you guys are staying safe and healthy as we continue to try to flatten the curve. We've got Randall and Jay from Jet Set Rehab on this week. You know them. They take the most influential, impactful courses, and they host them in the coolest vacation destination venue. So I know they've currently canceled all the 2020 courses right now due to COVID, but hopefully as that curve gets flattened and things reopen, we'll be able to continue to host some really cool courses with them. So Randall and Jay are some awesome dudes. They talked about the origin story of Jet Set Rehab. They talked about why it's important to combine your information, your education with entertainment, because people pay a premium for that. We talked about Game of Thrones, Star Wars, their fascination with the Lakers. We also talked about the Con Ed education courses that Trace and I have coming up. I pitched them some ridiculous ideas. One idea might be like, oh, a lazy river pitch down here in San Marco. So hopefully, you know, we'll have some really cool Con Ed opportunities coming up that are fun and educational at the same time. We also talk a lot about managing burnout and student loans in those first few years after your graduation. So visit JetSet at jetsetrehabed.com. They also have a podcast with their course instructors if you want to learn more about them and see if you can handle listening to this person for a full 8 hours. But yeah, hopefully everything's going well with y'all. Enjoy.
Kind of one of those things. It's like the duck, you know, you see a duck in the water, right? The duck looks like it's cool, but the duck's freaking working hard under the water. Wow, I'm working hard. That's how our place is. We look cool, but we're working hard,
right?
Yeah. Hey, by the way, if you're listening to this, Jay and I run a Con Ed company, so that's what we're talking about. We do our classes in travel destinations. So
yeah, we should
just in case somebody didn't know who we are or whatever.
I know,
and the other thing is, we're not coronavirus experts by any means, so everything we just said, take that with a grain of salt.
Right.
Oh, I thought we were interviewing like coronavirus scientists. That's Trace. I thought that's what was going on.
Yeah, we're all in trouble if we're the experts. I'll say that.
So, and what's the business called that you guys run?
Yeah, we're called Jet Set Rehab Education.
That's, and you guys have like the best Con Ed name out there.
Thank you.
Great.
And that was all Jay. Jay's the mastermind behind that name.
We were spitballing and it just came to us. So thanks so much.
How long have you guys been operating?
5 years now. This is our fifth year.
And what's the origin story here? Because it seems like a foolproof, just genius idea. But nobody ever has. Was this going on before? Or are you guys the first ones to be like, hey, we love Con Ed. We would love it a lot more if it was in a luxury travel destination, right?
Yep, exactly. Yeah, Randall, I'm gonna share the origin story if that's okay.
Yeah, you take this one. Yeah,
Yeah, so I was actually in Vegas. This was probably about 6 years back, and I was reading a magazine and while I was waiting for my wife to get ready to go out. And one of the things that these people were talking about, these are the guys who ran the Hakkasan group, the clubs and all the club scene out there. And the thing they talked about was how they got their start. And one of the big things they talked about was, you know, people just want entertainment nowadays. They want to be entertained. And people will pay a premium for that based upon, you know, location and, you know, what things are being offered. And so I was thinking about it and I was like, well, you know, how come no one's really done this like in the Con Ed world? I mean, you hear about doctors doing it. You hear about nurses to a point doing it, where they'll just go to a luxury destination and they'll just take a few hours of Con Ed and then they'll have a great trip. But we have never done it in PT. And so I was like, you know, I wonder if it really exists. So I went out and I looked and no one was doing it. Basically, everyone's doing it in like, you know, mom and pop locations. And, you know, it's literally about getting the content, which is great. But, you know, where's the fun in all of this? And then in addition to that, where's also the connectivity with people? A lot of courses I've attended, and Randall, you can vouch for this too. It's like, mm-hmm. You go to the class, you may talk to somebody a little bit while you're at the course, but when the course is done, people just split and that's the end of it. And it's like, how can we build a bigger community within PT and get more connections amongst, you know, various providers. So, you know, I came back from Vegas and I pitched this idea to Randall and he was all in from the get-go. He's like, and literally he brought, I mean, I had just the initial idea and Randall just took it to the next level. With all the content and the podcasts and the photography. And so it's just basically been born. And, you know, we've kind of worked really well and fed off of each other over the last 5 years in regards to this.
That's awesome, yeah. Man.
Yeah, that's, and another thing that I feel like maybe you should go into a little bit more is like, not only are you guys doing it in destination places, but you guys try to build the community after the course is over of like setting up some sort of like a happy hour or dinner. Like it's not just kind of do your own thing while you're vacationing in like some of the other places. I've been to Con Ed before and like, you know, Clearwater or like even in Austin, you're like in a destination-ish spot, mm-hmm. but you're always like Googling what is to like, what do I do when I'm here kind of thing. But you guys have like some sort of it's kind of like a community while you're there and you're away from the families or whatever for a little bit. So you get to not only meet and hang with the instructors, because you guys bring in some high quality like CEU instructors, mm-hmm. you actually get mm-hmm. to spitball with them at a happy hour after. If you may want to go into that a little bit.
Yeah, we do like well, Tracy, you were part of it when we were in Denver. That's basically what we'll do after every class, which is we kind of rent out a spot and do, you know, it's like a Q&A. It's have a few beers. It's about to get to know people. And the cool thing is, like, you know, if you take a course with us, it's like you're part of the family. And we have a lot of people that have taken, you know, 7-8 courses. You know, I think there's this one person, Katie, who just got married. Congratulations. But she's taken like almost every single one we've ever had. So she's like part of our family. And then, you know, we just like, we go on vacation more with them than our best friends in a lot of sense. So I think it brings it to the next level as far as building relationships. And I know, Jay, you have a story of people that started a business or something based on, like, they met at one of our happy hours, and then tell a story about that.
Yeah, I mean, actually, before I jump into that, I'll throw something else in. I mean, so just so you guys know, so we whenever we host a course, it's all included. So we don't think you should have to worry about anything. You shouldn't have to worry about breakfast. You shouldn't have to worry about lunch. And then the networking experience at the end is always, you know, a way to connect with people. And so all of this is built into the cost. So we'll include hotel, we'll include your breakfast, we'll include lunch, and it's all catered. And you know, we're not doing like the kind of the cheap continental breakfast. We're really trying to make sure you get like high-end food. And we just try to make it, you know, as simple as possible. You just basically show up, and everything's taken care of for you. So that's something we always include in our courses. As far as like the connectivity and the networking, we have had people in the classes, who've met over the years, and the one story, there was one in, I think it was either in Cabo one year, or it was in a Vegas course. A group met and they were like, you work like literally like 2 miles away from me. And one clinic specialized in like, you know, like jaw pain and stuff like that. Whereas the other one was specialized, it had a different specialty. And they created they were able in their time there to be able to create this connection to where they were able to refer patients back and forth, which was, you mean to us, that's exactly what we were hoping for. You know, we're also even hoping for people to just connect on other levels and just be able to, you know, bridge that gap in PT.
Any marriages, any jet set marriages from all these courses yet? Any jet set babies?
There's some people got married, but I think they're going out before the course.
Yeah. You
know, a couple PT couples, so two. And then I don't think we had anything to do with that, but there have been some connections that we're keeping an eye on.
Yeah.
That may turn into marriages.
Yeah.
Definitely relationships have formed.
Good. You guys are better than dating apps.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you guys are a few years out of PT school. Like, how many people started dating in your class?
Oh yeah.
A lot.
I was one of them. Yeah. But
it's because you're confined in a space for hours and hours, and that, not that you're confined in our class or anything, but it's like, you know, you're going to meet people and it's like only natural. You're already starting off with a lot in common, you know?
That's right.
Yeah.
My debt is your debt.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Bachelor in paradise, the PT in paradise kind of people.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You've already got a common ground. You probably like the con ed you're taking. You like the destination and you like to travel. So, I mean, you've already bridged those, or you've already got those things in common when you're going out there. So, you know, that definitely is a starting point for a lot of people.
Jay met his wife in PT school. What am I talking about? That's a perfect example right there.
Yeah, that's right.
There you go.
There you go.
Study groups, man.
That's it. That's where it started. It's where the magic happens.
The all-nighters, you know. What about you guys? Like, so we've listened to the Whiskey Doc. I listened to a couple episodes of Duck Legs Pod.
Sorry.
And I was – did I say that wrong?
No, I'm sorry you had to listen to it.
Oh, no. Because I kept saying duck feet. So I was like, oh, man. Oh, shit. I messed it up again.
Yeah. Now we went through a rebranding phase.
And one episode you guys were just talking about Star Wars. I was like, I texted Jay. I was like, I don't know if we're going to be the best guests for this. And then I listened to another one. It seemed like, okay, we can participate. You know, the post CSM one I listened to as well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It got closer and closer to what we can actually be a guest on your pod for.
Yeah, man. It's if you don't have anything to nerd out about as far as like Marvel or Star Wars, that's totally fine. It's about your story. And, you know, I think you guys have done a great job laying that out already. So don't feel insecure about this interview at all, man.
Okay. I just put all my Star Wars toys on eBay yesterday.
How much?
If anybody wants to buy an X-Wing fighter for $18.
Okay. I might go check it out.
Name on eBay. Yeah.
Yeah, is there anything you guys do nerd out about? We can go down that rabbit hole if you want.
Lakers.
Lakers.
Yeah, Lakers. I'm a Game of Thrones fan. I read all the books. So
there you go, Trace.
God. Finally, someone Trace. Game of Thrones.
Trace, let's talk.
How do you feel? Can we do the spoiler alert? If you haven't watched Game of Thrones, don't listen to this next coming part. How do you feel about the ending of it? What do you think?
Okay. So that the ending is like reminds me of, you know, like when you get to school and you're like, oh, I forgot to do my homework,
mm-hmm.
and you write your paper really quick, like as the teacher walks in.
Yeah,
that was basically the season finale, in my opinion. They just like had to do it real quick, and it was like kind of like a rough draft.
You know? Yeah, I feel like they could have done a lot more with it, but when I found out how many episodes it was going to be, and it was for sure the last season, it's like that was pretty much as good as I expected it to be. Like, it's not anywhere close to the first three or four seasons, but I think towards the end, they didn't have, like, the actual stuff from George R. R. Martin. He just gave him, like, a rough draft.
Yeah.
Here's what you want. And then you see, like, oh, there's a very quick decline in the actual plot of everything. It's kind of like, why are we doing this? I don't know, but we got how it ends, so it'll be fine.
Exactly. And then I will say the first three seasons of the final season, the first three episodes were really well done. I enjoyed it. The one where the spoiler alert, where Arya stabs the Night King. Mm-hmm. That was amazing.
Yeah, I'm still not sure how
it was better than most of the movies I've seen this year. So,
yeah, like the cinematics of it were amazing. Yeah, like they focused on that for the lack of storytelling that they had.
right. Yeah.
I still don't know how I feel about Bronn ending on the throne, or Bran ending on the throne.
Yeah. Seems like a weird, like in normal society, I don't feel like anyone like that ever gets elected or appointed to any position.
Yeah, and I feel like
he lacks charisma.
Yeah, he's just kind of like, I'm going to be in charge because I see everything. It's like, cool, but what does that even mean? Like, I still don't really know.
What does that do for us?
Yeah.
That was the dude in the chair, right? As somebody that has only watched a little bit of Game of Thrones.
Pure Jay has totally tuned out. That was the guy in the wheelchair.
I'm one, so I have no idea what you guys are talking about.
Jay, just to bring it back to physical therapy, he was physically disabled in a wheelchair.
He was a full-time manual wheelchair.
And he became the king.
User,
yeah. So. Yeah. Part-time backpack.
Did they? So this is set like in middle time, right? Middle ages. Did his wheelchair roll? Did it actually work?
Oh yeah. Well, he was in the noble family, so he had like the best carpenters working for him. Okay. It wasn't made out of metal or anything. It's probably pretty heavy.
Awesome.
Basically, a lot of times in the show, he would be in the forest alone, and you're like wondering how he got there. Yeah. Because I'm sure that wheelchair did not have off-road capabilities. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, he moved around pretty quick, but you never really saw how, because he was either getting pushed. I don't think he ever really pushed himself. I think it was someone moved him there usually.
And they're making a prequel, right, of Game of Thrones? Is that what
I heard? There's a couple short stories that George R. R. Martin wrote on prequels as well. So I don't know if they're aligned with that or not. But I think that the last two episodes were like so bad. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get on board with those. I will. The one thing I'll do, and I thought George R. R. Martin was gonna do like a full on Game of Thrones move, which would be to mislead the TV writers, and then 1 week later come out with his book with the real ending, and that would have just been a total Game of Thrones thing to do.
They were leaking that he like already had the books released or like ready to go. Too. I was thinking it was going to happen, but unfortunately, no.
Yeah. Yeah. He did not do that. So, cause that would have been, I mean, peak New York Times bestseller.
I mean, right.
Yeah.
Let me ask, what are you guys nerding out on Star Wars about?
Jake, can you do Star Wars?
I can do a little bit on that.
Yeah. Well, easy question. How do you feel about The Rise of Skywalker?
You know, I'll be honest with you, these last three, like the, what was the other one, the one before that? The Last Jedi.
Jedi. Yeah.
I hated The Last Jedi. Yeah. But what they did to that, like Luke's character.
Yeah.
I could not believe what he did with that movie. He just like destroyed everything in that one movie. And I wasn't, I wasn't that excited going into it, but they did a relatively decent job with it. I actually heard this week, because I'm on this Star Wars text with a couple of my friends.
Nice.
And one of them sent me a text. He was telling me that there's a new novel coming out. Now, I don't read the novels, but he said in this novel that they're saying her father, Rey's father, is Palpatine, is a clone of Palpatine.
Oh, wow.
It's a failed clone of Palpatine. Apparently, a lot of people are really upset because they said that the latest movie didn't really depict that. It just kind of shows him kind of like, you know, like plugged into all these things, like, you know, more or less being powered by the Sith, like via this. I don't even know what that was, if it was a computer or what.
Yeah. That seems like a cop out too, because you're like, oh no, it's like his actual granddaughter is Rey.
Yeah, 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 yeah. I mean, I think we all knew it. I guess the next question will be going forward. is, I'm sure they'll probably launch some other movies, but what about what's the guy's name? He has force capabilities too.
Finn,
yeah.
Yeah.
Because you can kind of tell he's got something. And, you know, a long time ago, I had read a theory that he was the son of Snoke. And that...
Ooh.
Now, and they kind of disproved it in this movie, but then the thing I heard, though, was that Snoke was actually the Samuel Jackson... What was the Jedi?
Mace Windu.
Mace Windu. That he was... because he falls out of the window and you just assume he dies. But yeah, they're like, he probably controlled his fall and he turns into Snoke.
That it's would like a be John awesome.
Yeah. So they're saying that he might have force powers based upon the fact that he was somehow connected to Snoke.
That would be awesome.
Yeah.
Jay, very impressed with you right now.
You like that? You like that?
Yeah, you're going into the novels of Star Wars.
That's it.
Jared, do you read those?
No, I have not. I have not delved into those yet. I'd like to. That'd be fun.
Yeah, I have a friend. He reads all of them. He tells us about it. I don't have the time to read them, but,
yeah.
I watch all the shows like Clone Wars and have you guys been watching those? The new Clone Wars?
No, I have not. I'm still undecided on whether I need to make the jump to Disney Plus and watch Mando and all that stuff.
Dude, have you seen Mando?
Just from YouTube synopsis.
Oh man, you got to watch that show. It is so good. It is just so good what they've done with it.
Yeah.
It's just well written. It's a really good show. That in itself makes Disney Plus worth it.
I bet.
You mean because they have Baby Yoda, right? That's what you guys are talking about.
Yeah. That was like a thing in the beginning. We're just like, whoa, but that, you know, as the story develops and unfolds, it's just really good. It's a really good show. It's well written.
Yeah. I could see Jay telling his kids, like, hey, for Christmas, I got you Disney Plus. You know, and then just hogging the TV.
How'd you guess?
It's Baby Yoda. Hey, how many, you guys, how many, because you guys are a little bit of a different generation than us. How many people have podcasts, like, in your class, would you say?
Oh, from my PT class?
Yeah.
Cohort?
Yeah.
None in my cohort, but... I mean, it was kind of started with me and another guy in my cohort. But yeah, I would definitely say this is the generation that, like, just like people had blogs, now it seems like everybody's going to have a podcast, and it's just
so much less time.
So much less time. And it's as we see that voice is growing as an important factor with social media and commerce, I think it just makes sense for everybody to have it's a different way to have their message heard.
What do you think? Like, so you're kind of unique. Like, what do you think?
Oh, thanks, man.
Well, because you're the only one in your class that started a podcast, right? Yeah. So, like, why do you think you, like, what is it about you that made you?
Well, the rest of my classmates were, like, murdered. But, no. No, they weren't. For whatever reason, social media was appealing to me as a student. Just, I think Twitter is where we get caught up first, because there's a lot of PTs talking crap on Twitter and you're like, oh man, manual therapy does suck.
Right.
And then that kind of just leads you into, you'd see a lot of these personalities. Like at the time, like Jeff Moore would go on Periscope back when Periscope was still a thing. And he would every morning, he would, you know, share a story or share a clinical story. And then you have people more in the business side and you're like, all right, what's an easy way to network with these people? Let's do a fucking podcast. It's a harder sell to be like, hey bro, can you talk to me for an hour? But instead like, hey bro, can I promote your shit for an hour and still get gems from you? Yeah. And it started as that networking capability or opportunity and then just grew into what it is of just bullshitting and storytelling. And also for me, it's a creative outlet, because I'm a comedy nerd as well. So we can have these little improv games. We can make fun of, have serious topics, but make them funny or make them more relatable to the public.
For sure. Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, can I ask, in terms of like the, your exposure to, like, you were talking about Twitter and how people have, you know, like they come on there and some people are like, hey, this methodology sucks, or this study sucks. And, or, you know, they're kind of going back and forth. What's your take on that? Because I think some of the people, and this is my own take, I think some of the people out there, they're just doing it to get a reputation.
Yes.
Control other, you know, other philosophies or mindsets. And they're just doing it to get more of an audience for themselves. Like, they're not really in it to really disprove or prove one way or the other.
For sure. It's 100%. And a lot of these people that do that have courses, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Yeah. They're like the biggest speakers on this have fucking courses today. Probably in shitty cities, not like Cabo or Mexico, just like in Wichita. So fuck those guys. No, but yeah, I think it's their form of marketing. And you know, it's cool if it works for you and you can build that type of audience, but like, I don't have the energy to be that polarizing on a topic, but yeah, I totally agree. It's audience building. It's their form of marketing. They can promote their course and their ideology, but in the big picture, if we go meta, it probably doesn't really serve our profession, right? It certainly doesn't serve the public talk about our profession, not having an identity, not having a brand. We're not doing, those people aren't doing anything to promote that and to elevate.
Yep. I totally agree. There's no positivity in it. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, we're always like in a kind of a conundrum with Jet Set when we organize our courses, because we only want to get like really high level instructors. But then on the flip side, you know, you're running a business, you could get somebody on that has like a 10,000 Twitter followers and like sell the course out.
Yeah.
But it's like, you know, we've been really kind of methodical about like not doing that. But it is like, I noticed like at CSM, you'll see a lot of people like on some of the platforms that are like not as accomplished as they used to be. However, they have a lot of like a big social media presence. It's yeah. just kind of a trend, you know, it's a trend in our profession, but it's like, is it a good trend? I don't know. Sometimes I don't think so.
Yeah. And what's been y'all's process so far of picking who you pick to host courses or teach courses?
Well, I mean, you know, we've been on the Whiskey Docs podcast, so, you know, we're Jay and our whiskey connoisseurs, but we don't have an expertise in whiskey. We do have an expertise in physical therapy, and we're connoisseurs of Con Ed. So it has to be an instructor that we've either taken their course, we know a lot about their research background, we know they're a good lecturer, and you know, we really put a lot of thought into what kind of person they were having on the course or teach it, you know?
Because aren't both you guys OCSs or residency instructors, or were at some point?
Yeah, we are. Well, yeah, that's like kind of our day job is we're both on the Kaiser residency faculty.
Right.
As mentors, we both have OCS and we're both fellowship trained.
Yeah.
We're guys similar. That like to party in cool cities and kind of bring out.
Yeah. Because we didn't want to get that image of like, hey, you just drink, you don't have to show up to class, have fun, it's a party. They're serious classes that we're putting on, and they're high level, they're good classes. So you're not going to ever come away like disappointed in the lecture.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah, it's actually mind blowing because like in Cabo, right? It's probably the most easily distractible classroom you'll probably ever be in. It's like on the second floor of a beach club, and it overlooks the Pacific. So the beach,
and there's no walls.
Yeah, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah.
So it's
wet,
like
it's a wet t-shirt contest down below.
What?
No.
Just kidding.
but the crazy part is you think people would be, you know, really distracted, and what happens is, you know, you get the instructor there, and people are just dialed in. They want to learn the content.
Yeah.
And they're not really like, you know, diverted by all the stuff that's going on behind them. Obviously on the break, some people will, you know, run out to the ocean, take a quick dip and then come back up.
But, as you do during a Con Ed weekend.
Right. But you know, for the most part, you know, people are just, you know, they're dialed in, you know, they really want to learn. Last year was pretty epic too. I mean, we had we try to target people with regards to, or instructors with even like, you know, that people really want to hear a little bit more about. And so we got Johnny Owens with a blood flow restriction group last year. He's out of what, San Antonio, I believe. So not far from where you're at. Mm-hmm. And that course was pretty amazing. And we did it. We actually did it at the UFC Performance Institute in Vegas.
Cool.
So I mean, people, you could get easily distracted because you know you're in a place where the fighters are essentially training. But people were dialed in. You know, they really wanted to learn the content that he had to share, and it was a great class. It was just a great atmosphere.
I love Owen's recovery, and Johnny's such a great speaker and lecturer too.
Yeah, I will tell you, we had heard that it was a good course, but we did our due diligence on it. Our instructor, Drew Marcos, from he's going to be teaching our Cabo course. He taught a course in Hawaii for us last year, and he treats a lot of athletes. So he's from, if you look him up on Instagram, it's Modus Specialists. But he treats a lot of high-end athletes, and he raved about how smart Johnny was. He talked about Johnny as being like one of the smartest guys he's ever known.
Yeah.
And we go back with Drew. So we were like, you know what, we've got to really make it a point to try and get these guys. And so we vetted it out, and we were able to line something up. They've been great to work with.
Hell yeah. Yeah, what's the dude from Modus's name again?
Andrew Marcos.
Yeah. Sorry.
No. So he actually spoke at CSM. I don't know if you were there.
Yeah, I was in that chat for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We pretty much know all the people in that chat. I mean, Drew, he did, when I was in fellowship, he was in residency. And Marshall Lemoyne, and he's part of Physio U with Michael Wong.
Yeah.
We know those guys too pretty well. We go back with Michael and Marshall as well. I know their courses are always packed in, or their lectures, should I say, at CSM.
Hell yeah. Yeah. Who else was on that? Who else was on that board?
Stefiana.
Yeah. Stefiana was there.
Stefiana Bell. Yeah. Yeah. We got a little insight when we were in Las Vegas with Johnny and Andrew Marcos, because you know they get like kind of the intel on pro athletes before it's released to the press, so we were trying to use it to improve our gambling luck on sports,
right?
And
because that's what you do as a healthcare provider.
Right, you bet on, use injuries, and for all PTs out there, like if you do gamble on sports, I mean, use your knowledge to help you.
Yeah,
you
know? Right.
If somebody 100%. Has a certain injury and you know that's going to really limit him, you know, bet accordingly.
Yeah. The APTA has a stand on that for sure.
Oh, yeah. You know.
Oh, delete that part from the podcast.
That's good.
Ducks, yeah. I'm just going to tell
that
you
how. It's not money. Advice.
Yeah. That's Vision 2020, baby.
I was just going to tell you guys how I won money when I saw Durant injure his ankle. When they said it wasn't an Achilles tear, I put money on the Raptors at that point. I was like, come on.
Yeah.
That's a tear. I know it. I don't need the media to tell me that it's not.
Yeah. Perfect example. Yeah.
Last year was rough. Last year was rough for NBA injuries.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Oh, wait till this year. We got a lot of, like, if you look at the best teams in the NBA, you know, like LeBron, Kawhi, Paul George. You know, they're like injuries waiting to happen. So yeah. I think that's probably going to determine the champion this year is who can stay healthy into the finals.
Yep. Let's go Pelicans.
They're all
majority. The Pelicans are done. The Lakers ended the Pelican season about last week. You didn't watch that?
We'll see. They're my team.
You guys are 5 games back with 20 to go. So
we're just warming up. Zion knows how to walk now. He'll be good.
You changed how we walked.
Yeah, that's what. Yeah. Did you hear that news?
Yeah, I did. I did. Because you walk a lot in the game.
Yeah,
that's how you get hurt when the walk.
It's right. Yeah, it's really, everybody thinks you get hurt from running. It's really the walking that gets you. That's from a fellow.
Yeah. What do you got? I mean, you guys are like, you know, a couple of years out of PT school. What are you guys doing for your Con Ed? How many years are out are you, Derek?
I guess I'm a year and some change now.
Derek, so, yeah. And Trace, same, right?
Yeah, getting closer to 2 years will be in May, will be our graduation date.
Oh, cool.
Okay. So, yeah, this is, like, a crucial time for you. This is, like, when you kind of decide how you're going to do, like, where you're going to, like, focus your education, right?
For sure, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, so like, the first year out, you don't need Con Ed, to be honest with you, the first year out.
Oh, I wish someone would have told
you. You're just learning from your patients. Yeah, you're learning from your patients. But now that you're in your routines and your job, now you start deciding, okay, I want to learn this, I want to learn that. Like, what are you guys doing for that? So
I took all the McKenzie core sequence this first year out and in my vestibular rehab specialty.
Oh, so nice.
For the MDT cert at some point this year, and then I can start looking into other things. But yeah, I probably knocked out about 130, 140 hours of CEUs.
Yeah.
So that whole, I didn't need it. Yeah.
No, my bad.
Some of us came out of school smarter than others, I guess.
That's awesome.
But I think it's natural to, you know, those first few years is to feel a little bit lost or like you don't know what to do. So I think you search for that, like by taking courses, right?
Yeah, and I feel like I really needed the like an examination style, like how to classify patients kind of approach and like evaluation, because in school you're taught like, we were taught peds and tegument and all this stuff that I wasn't using. But for ortho, it's like we had our two classes, but it was teaching us, you know, how to do our special tests, how to like the muscles, bones, ligaments, and all that. It's like some clinical reasoning and like enough to pass the boards, but it's, especially in the VA, I get patients where it's like, both my knees hurt. It's like, what'd you do? I jumped out of planes for 20 years. It's like, okay.
Yeah.
Well, how do I do that? Like, or my back hurts. Well, what'd you do? I was a pilot in a bomber for 20 years. Like, okay. Well, I need some way to figure out how to help you.
They're like, but what's going on today?
Yeah. So kind of just getting something that allowed me that confidence in the evaluation process of like, okay, here's what you could be, here's what you can't be, and here's what we can do about it. So,
yeah. What are you doing, Jared?
Yeah. So the, my old gig where the clinic I was at, it was a Confluent Health clinic. So they paid for EIM's MTC program. So that was pretty sweet. So got loaded on some Con Ed for free. But then I left. Good. So hopefully they don't hear this and ask for that money back. And now I'm with a sports startup, and yeah, going forward, probably a lot more Con Ed's going to be focused more on that. Treating the athlete, treating the tactical population as well. Also looking for some good concussion kind of now too. I know that's kind of a super niche down region. I don't know if anybody is doing some good concussion courses right now. What do y'all think?
You know, I think that it's like a growing area. I don't know anyone per se. Randall, do you?
No, well, it's starting to become a lot of a part of the vestibular courses.
Yeah,
like they're doing a section on that. So I don't know if Trace, you've probably most recently taken the vestib, right? Was post concussion syndrome part of the course that you took?
It was. So the course I took was up in Chicago, and it was a 3-part course. So the part 3 was focused in on the concussion rehab.
Yeah, because very similar. As far as the vestibular and post-concussion, you know, as far as it's almost like the way I explain it to my patients is you're like recalibrating your ears, your eyes, and your proprioception to work together.
Yeah, I mean, I have a buddy. He does a lot of work with vestibular, and I mean, that's his niche.
Vestibular. Is that TJ? Yeah.
No, actually, it's a guy named Nerev out of Orange County. But he does stuff with vestibular and concussion patients, and he told me about a year and a half back he was doing stuff with the NFL, helping to develop some of their standards. Cool. I tried to talk him into doing a class for us, but he's like nah, he doesn't want to go out there and get on the lecture circuit as of yet. But I'm hoping I can twist his arm at some point to maybe get some of that information out.
Yeah, you're a PT, you know how to manipulate joints. I'll be fine.
That's it.
So how do you guys pick which destinations you want to go to, and how do you hook up? All right, we secured We secured a location, a property in Cabo. How does that all work?
That's the work. I think a lot of our ideas come from people that take our courses. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll kind of get a group together and be like, hey, we want to go here. What do you think? Like right now, most recently, like I've gotten separate text messages from people that want to go to like a wine tasting.
Oh, wow.
So that you kind of like get the idea, right? That plants the seed, and then you start doing your due diligence on like, where can we do this? Is this possible? And it's kind of like when there's a will, there's a way, you know, like, I'll never forget the moment when, you know, Jay found this Cabo location, but when he's like, hey, let's go check out the classroom. And when I saw it, I was like, is this legal? You know, it's like on an open air on the ocean, you know, it's like,
yes.
So I think it's like, you just have to not be afraid of if it's legal or not, because the classroom doesn't matter. You know, what matters is the content. And if you can, you know, kind of think outside the box a little bit, that, like, it's definitely possible. We did a class in a bar once.
Hell yeah.
You know, that was the easiest happy hour transportation. You know, it's like do a 180, happy hour started, you know?
Yeah, that was the Irene Davis course in Vegas.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it's like we've done, like, just some crazy stuff. I mean, it's just, like, some of it's from people who have given us ideas. Other aspects of it is just us being like, you know, hey, we want to go here. Let's just do a class
up there.
You know, let's do it. So, you know, we've just, like, we've done Hawaii a couple times. Last year we were in Kauai, which was great. You know, and it's just literally just picking. Once you pick the spot, then it's literally about trying to focus in on a place where you can have the conference, and just making sure you can get all the other stuff in line. I mean, the food's always relatively easy. You just got to make sure you find the right, type of food for which everyone will kind of like. But then, the networking experience, we always make sure that's at a nice spot where people can kind of really connect. So. These guys, and then I have these guys, Randall, and some of the guys on the team who come up with some crazy ideas. Their latest is for me to do one on a plane, to help organize one. So we do the Con Ed on the plane, and so by the time we land at the destination, the class is done, and people can just go out and have a good time.
Whoa.
You could easily do that internationally. Take a little 8-hour flight over to Germany or somewhere in Europe, and it'd be good.
Yeah, that's it, right?
Yeah.
So we shall see. You know, we don't try to like box ourselves in. We just, you know, sky's the limit. We'll just, if we can feel we can pull it off, we'll do it.
Get you guys as a plane right now. I mean, coronavirus is keeping prices down, so
there's no better time.
There might be a better time.
There is none.
When everyone else is zigging, we're going to zag. Let's do a flight right into Italy, right?
Has there been any location so far that somebody like asked you and you're like, nah, we're not doing that?
I asked them about Wuhan and they said no.
There you go.
Yeah, that was our first hard no.
Yeah.
On that one. When the Wuhan one was dropped, we were like, nah, we're not in on that.
Yeah, I think the only time we say no is if they're the only person that would want to go there, I think.
Mm-hmm. Like Trace. You know?
Yeah. Like, yeah, Trace can, you can go there and telecommute.
I don't know. I feel like everyone that's going there right now ain't leaving, so it's a good spot.
Tickets are definitely cheap, so.
Tickets and hotels, right? We probably do. Totally. Everything's are cheap.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, we've thrown out some ideas for future courses. I mean, our goal right now is to continue to develop more domestically, but you know, we throw in a international course here and there, but ultimately what we want to do is be able to do this more internationally. So, I mean, hopefully once all this stuff dies out in a year or two, we talk about doing something in Bali or Thailand. I mean, that would just be sick just to go out there and just do a course. And,
yeah.
You know, for people to just be able to experience that would be just amazing.
Yeah. Any Austin outrageous? Too. Yeah, dude, please come to Austin.
We tried. Nobody bought that one.
What?
Actually, last year we advertised for Rich Willie. It was a running course. Yeah. We were doing it out in where was it at in Austin? I can't remember the location, but it was definitely wanted to come out there because it's such a cool city.
Yeah.
Austin, you guys are a white whale.
Okay, well, we'll help. I'll help with that. Did you guys have it at a brewery or was it a clinic or what?
It was at a classroom venue, but we're gonna bus everyone to a brewery afterwards. I think
that's awesome.
Yeah,
so many breweries down here. My startup is gonna be like housed in a. It's not my startup. It's my team startup. I don't have any equity in it right now. Let me make sure I say that. It's gonna be in the 200,000 square foot like sports mall. So they're gonna have restaurants. Like the downstairs floor has like two ice rinks, soccer fields, and the clinic I'm with is gonna have like 7,000 square feet. So,
oh damn,
that's gonna be up north in Cedar Park, which is like a little bit north of Austin.
Yeah.
So that might be a cool venue if y'all want to like put on some sports stuff. We can accommodate that. Hopefully there'll be some breweries nearby. I'll have to look into that. But yeah, there's so much.
Yeah. If they're not nearby, we'll get them. We'll get them over there, or we'll bus everyone to it. Yeah, let's exchange numbers after this podcast. Great idea.
Yeah, I'm most definitely down for that. I mean,
yeah, we want to go to Austin. I love that city.
Yeah, I went there a long time ago. It's such a cool city. Damn.
It is boomtown right now.
Yeah, I bet. Hey, they still have the bats there underneath the bridge.
Yeah. Bats come out underneath the bridge. I forget how often, but yeah, that's it's Bat City, man.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that.
Yeah,
that's not where we're gonna do the course. So.
Under a bridge? What if we do What if we do a paddleboard course? Like everybody's on a paddleboard on the lake.
Yeah, see, you're coming up with the ideas that like these are great ideas. You know what I mean? Like it's just we got to get you on our team.
Yeah.
These are solid gold, what you're coming up with.
I appreciate it.
We do paddleboarding in the cobble course, actually. But, I like that. Like you paddleboard, take a break 15 minutes down the river.
Yeah.
Post up down the shore. We set up the lecture. Or perhaps a raft.
Yes.
Pontoon boat.
Or a little tubing.
Yeah. Yeah.
You could do a river float.
Oh, yeah, lazy river.
Yeah. Oh, San Marcos. Yeah, right down the street. Yeah.
We tie everybody up like in a classroom formation on a lazy river.
There you go.
Tie their tubes up. Yeah.
There you go.
We can totally do that. We can totally do that down here.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's how it starts.
It's so Texas. Nobody cares in Texas, man. You do what you want.
Yeah. Are you guys okay with student loans and all that?
Oh, not at all.
Yeah. That's the biggest problem right now for physical therapists. Like the one thing that's just, it's making people take bad jobs. It's making people work too much. I think if we could do one thing to help our profession, it would be, we got to get a hold of like at least lowering the interest rate on some of these
I think they need to lower the cost, to be honest with you, of schools. Cause they just charge an arm because they know people want to become therapists.
Okay. Yeah,
but they're not giving you really a good understanding of what you're going to be making when you come out. It just takes forever to pay off.
Yeah, that was my school. They, from like our class to when we were third years, the first years that came in between their first and second year, they hit them with a 13% tuition hike over a year.
Shit.
And it's like, what?
Yeah. You're locked in at that point.
Yeah. Yep. And you're already a year in, you're getting ready for clinicals and it's like, well, great.
Right.
Do you guys think the ROI is there? Like, do you have a problem recommending someone to go to physical therapy school right now?
Oh yeah, it's a bad. I tell people it's a bad business decision, but it's a good life decision. So don't do it for the money for sure, because that's a horrible idea. You know, there's a lot of professions out there where you're gonna be, the ratio of cost of education to how much you're gonna be making is way better.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say that I discourage people from doing it. The only thing I would say is, because, you know, I love the profession. I love what I do. I think there's a lot of variability in what we do. I mean, you could work in one setting one day and tomorrow just decide, you know what, hey, I don't want to work in this population anymore. I want to work with somebody else. And you could just go switch jobs. And, you know, you have that flexibility in this profession, which is so cool. But at the same time, I do tell them, it's like, look, no one's going to care when you're out what school you went to, unless you're going to a clinic where, you know, they only hire from a certain school. The majority of the places, all they care for is you have a license. So it's like, don't go out to the number one school in the nation just because they're advertising it, because they're going to charge you number one prices. You know, yep. If you can get that education for a third of the amount, then do it. Because at the end of the day, you're still going to come out. You're still going to be seeking out Con Ed. You're still going to be looking to grow, and you're going to be in a better position because of it.
100% agree with that for sure.
Yep. Yeah. And then, you know, what you learn after school is way more important.
Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day, you're dealing with people. So it's like, you know, can you deal with human beings?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're not going to learn that in any school.
Yeah, I think if there's a shortcoming, though, in terms of all the schools, it is partly the whole aspect of, you know, they don't really prep you or tell you what you're going to be making. But then on the flip side of that, they don't really create people who are strong in business. Most therapists I know are terrified of marketing themselves.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the newer generation of PTs now, you know, they come out, they're looking for ways to market themselves, you know, in the world of social media. But for the most part, PTs aren't that great at marketing themselves. You know, unless you've got a really hard passion to own your own clinic. Most people go work in systems, right? Hospital systems and things like that. And it's just because they don't know how to market themselves. And I think that's a shortcoming of PT schools. There needs to be more of an emphasis on that, you know, so that we're better able to navigate those waters.
100%. How do you feel about as far as like the brand of physical therapy? How can that be improved or elevated? Because many people don't know what we do, right? Most people have no idea really what physical therapy is or what a physical therapist actually can do for them.
It's the problem is it's good and bad that we have so many different avenues that we can work in. You know, we can work acute care, we can work ortho outpatient. But the bad part is the marketing aspect is, you know, people are going to be confused, you know, like, oh, I got physical therapy in the hospital and now they want me to go to outpatient and they're expecting the same thing. Right.
Yeah.
There's that. There's a direct access issue where it's like, you know, people hurt their back. It's easier to see a chiropractor or a masseuse.
Yep.
So I think it's really tough. It's almost like we need different job titles for where you're working.
Yeah, on my end, I don't think there's any sort of unified approach, and that's one thing which, I mean, it's a blessing and it's a curse. It's a blessing in a sense that, you know, we have many ways to treat a certain thing. I mean, depending on the therapist you're going to go to, they're either going to push on you or, you know, on a joint, or they're going to mobilize a nerve, or they're going to mobilize some tissue, or they're just going to educate you on how to better load and, you know, manage your problem through movement. But, you know, again, the variability is so great. I mean, it is good, but in a sense it's bad because you deal with patients sometimes who come in and their cousin or their brother or somebody may have gone to a clinic, which is, you know, clearly just trying to make money. And they're hitting them with everything and anything. And the patient thinks that that's what they need to get them better. And it may not be really evidence-based, but they really feel that that's what's going to get them better. And so it's like, you know, if there was more of, if we were a little more standardized in some of those practices, I think we would be better off as a profession.
Yep.
I want to tell this story. You know, my grandfather he's like a World War II veteran. He's 101 years old. Wow. And he had a pretty severe stroke. And I just remember going to watch one of his sessions, and he was asleep in his wheelchair getting NMES on his anterior tibialis.
Oh.
And he was getting charged for that. So I think there's that aspect of it where I think, you know, some people are, and why is that happening? It's because, you know, people are trying to bill for stuff, right?
Right.
They're trying to bill for, so I think the, like, if you look at like how money is driving what we do, that's an issue. And I think student loans are a big part of that, because I think if people were not in so much debt, they wouldn't take any job, or they know they're doing unnecessary stuff.
Yeah. It's that vicious cycle. There's, you know, the high student loans, the need to take a job, and then that's how you get burnt out. And then, and you guys have an alleviating factor there. You have a really cool Con Ed course in Cabo that can help with burnout. So you can go and get refreshed in a nice vacation, and then, you know, have that pump that you get after a Con Ed course.
Yep.
Yeah. And if you can't afford it, guess what? These, you can write off your vacation as a tax write off because it's for a course.
There you go.
Throw that out there.
There you go.
This is the cheapest vacation that you can take.
Where can I book? Where do I go? What's the website?
JetSetRehabEd.com.
Hell yeah. What's the hottest course coming up?
Cabo San Lucas is coming up this May. So that's the one we're focused on right now. We have a law and ethics brunch in Manhattan Beach, which is you can fulfill your California law and ethics course over a champagne mimosa brunch.
Man, that's bougie as hell.
Yeah. Not a fun course, but you can make it fun.
Yeah.
We had great reviews with that, and it's kind of a dry topic, but our speaker is really good. He's very entertaining, Martin.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
Every year we go to Las Vegas around August, September.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This year we've got August with Michael Shacklock on neurodynamics. It's all nerve tensioners, sliders, all that stuff. That stuff is great.
Yeah.
We sell that out every year. So we're doing that in Vegas this year. It includes rooms at the Bellagio. So we include that in the cost of the course. And it's going to be at the UFC Performance Institute too.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah,
great center. And, you get to see like some of the fighters train all around there. Don't make eye contact.
Okay.
Yeah, the Cabo course is with Drew Marcos, who we were talking about earlier, promoted specialist. So that one's on the rotational athlete. So that's going to be a fun course.
Oh, and that's cool.
And if you're not sure, like, because, you know, if you haven't heard of our instructor, we have a podcast too where we interview the instructor. So you kind of have a good idea if you can listen to this person for 8 hours. So it's the Jet Set Rehab Education Podcast. So, and we have an episode with Trace coming out soon.
Yeah.
We follow the Whiskey Docs format, and we cracked open a couple bottles of whiskey.
Nice.
I'll try to get on releasing that soon.
Yeah. That was between sessions at CSN. That was,
you know, I got to find that bottle, by the way, that Balcones that you brought.
Fantastic.
That bottle.
I think it's a Texas only thing. It's like they released some of the other ones.
Whatever
for like mainstream, so especially to California, I don't know if they're going to do that. There's that little state rivalry thing that
I don't think you're telling the truth.
I mean,
you're just trying to get us out there.
I know that they do sell it in Austin, so if you guys have a course here, we can get you some.
I was gonna say more of a reason.
Perfect.
Yeah, some home.
That was a great bottle, man.
Yeah, it was. I enjoyed it. So
all right, guys, I'll leave you with one question that I think we're kind of leading up to some new grads out there that might be struggling with burnout. Maybe you guys have faced burnout a couple times or once or twice in your career so far.
Oh, yeah.
What, if you wouldn't mind kind of sharing a little something personal that you did to get yourself out of that burnout mindset, or something you recommend for folks that are in, if they're in that situation right now.
You got. I'll answer first.
If that's okay,
Jay. Yeah, burnout. That's, I mean, definitely something that I've been through. I think the big thing, like, not to keep harping on student loans, but it was like paying those off was like a huge thing. And then just to tell you a little bit about my story about how I paid it off. I think it's a timely avenue that everyone can do right now, because if you look at it, refinancing is about to, like, the interest rates are about to drop because the market, stock market's crashing right now. So when you can get a low interest rate, this, and this isn't going to work for everybody, but you can take a loan out on your house, which is going to be a lower interest rate than your student loans, and just pay those off. And then you're just paying your mortgage. That's kind of a trick I did. Like I said, it doesn't work for everyone. I took a loan out on my parents' house. They were nice enough to trust me to make payments. And I just paid it off one check, paid them all off. They tried to say I couldn't do that, but you can.
Yeah.
And then I just paid off my refinanced parents' mortgage, which was I think it was like 80% of a lower rate. So that's one trick. But I noticed that's when I started to feel like a lot less burned out. I think taking Con Ed and keeping things fresh really helps a lot, where you're excited to go to work on Monday because you have a new technique. And then the other thing is, as you get better at your job, I think it becomes more enjoyable because you can actually focus on less on the paperwork crunch and just more on just talking to people, meeting new people. I found it's a lot more fun when you get to more efficient. Yeah. I guess I should say, because you get to spend more time getting to know your patients.
And that's where it is too, because that documentation will put you in that hole.
Yeah,
sure.
And you get better at it. I can do a soap note in probably 3 minutes.
Damn. Yeah.
So, but it took me a while to get there, you know. But I know exactly what I want to put in, and then you know, Jay will tell you like my notes are perfect.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't know. What do you do, Jay, to battle your burnout? I don't think Jay ever gets burned out.
No, you know, I haven't really burnt out per se, but I will tell you that I have, you know, as a clinician, there have been times in the clinic where I've really had those days where it's like, man, you know, it was just a rough day. And it's like, how do you bounce back? You know, I've actually had some people who've confided in me and basically told me that they felt like they were burning out. And part of it's like, you know, you've got to kind of put yourself and just kind of reflect on where you're at in life. And, you know, is your head just in the weeds of work? Is that what you're doing every day? Or is there more to your life than that? I mean, are you doing things outside of your work? So this is where I think you know, having like other interests outside of work can really pay off.
Yeah.
If you're doing PT all day and all night, like you're doing PT at work, you come home, you're sticking your head in journals and you know, you're living and breathing it. It can be fine for a while, but eventually at some point it might catch up to you. So really look for that balance. That, you know, you hear about work-life balance these days, and it's so important. And you know, if that involves you, you know, getting out and doing things outside of your normal circle, then do it. You know, and the other thing I would also state is, you know, Randall brought it up about Con Ed. I mean, Con Ed can be a way for you to rejuvenate because it's going to give you skills, but don't make it just about the Con Ed. See if you can network with some people. If you grow your circle and you have more people who you can connect with, you're going to have more answers. So it could be where, you know, you're burning out because you're facing or dealing with some really chronic pain patients. And it's like, how do you better manage that? Well, if you're taking some Con Ed or you're connecting with some folks who have a better understanding of that, maybe there's some answers for that, and maybe that can help alleviate some of the stress that you're feeling from that. But again, outside of that, really, really look for other means, whether it be, you know, working out. You know, PTs tend to be very athletic, or very into, you know, gym kind of stuff, whether it be stuff like that, or, hey, just like Trace and Randall and I having a nice pour from time to time. You know, that can be a great thing as well. You know, find a different interest is what I would say.
Yeah, that's all. Yeah, it's so important to have that creative outlet.
Yeah,
I mean, what you guys are doing with this Duck Legs podcast, I don't know if you realize it or not, but it's probably helping you through a lot of the burnout issues because you have this outside thing that you're working on.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's been a huge help. Yeah. It's and it gives you that like just that Con Ed pump, right? Like after you get off the you know talk with you guys, like for Christopher Johnson, for example, out in Seattle, Tyler was so pumped like after that because he could just take everything he learned from that talk with about runners into his practice. So yeah, it's how do we find ways to get that pump and pump people up?
That's it.
Yep. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
You said it all. You know, you need like a PT school after PT school.
Yep.
You know?
A little more business and student loan help with that.
That's it.
I know, man. It's rough.
Chase, what you got anything else?
I don't
know. For Randall and Jay?
They pretty much hit it on the head. You got to keep it fun. That's why I do bartending instead of PRN PT because I don't have
there
to.
There you go.
Yeah. Who is? Yeah.
You told us that. Huge.
What, yeah. How many and other that, PTs are bartending?
Yeah. I don't know. You're unique too, Trace.
Aw, thanks.
You're a snowflake, my man.
You know, if we have that class in Austin, maybe Trace is going to have to bartend for us.
Oh, hell yeah.
We can get a nice little jet set cocktail menu. You let me know. There you go.
Mm-hmm. What if there's a scenario one day where Trace teaches the jet set course and then he bartends right after?
Oh, that's a very realistic scenario.
There you go.
Very realistic. You just gotta tell us what you want to teach. You know. Yeah, there's a lot of like as somebody who used to wait tables. There's a lot of lessons you can learn from bartending or serving that help you in the clinic. I would imagine, right, Trace?
Oh yeah, definitely interacting with people and
yeah.
You know, that's a big part of what we do.
Service industry, man.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Satisfied patients, satisfied customers, just knowing how to give people what they need so they're leaving happy, right?
Yep.
I wish patients could tip, though. I've thought that on many occasions.
A couple of people have tried. Yeah. Of course, we're not allowed to accept. But yeah, so I think one time somebody was going to give me like Laker tickets. I could not accept them.
Yeah. You got
strong
ethics, bro.
I said that's real strong ethics. What if they were giving you like, I don't know, the NBA Finals Lakers tickets courtside, and you're just like, nah, I can't.
Damn.
I'll let you know when I get there. I'll let you know. I'd like to say I would not accept, but who knows?
Yeah, bro. Well, Randall and Jay, maybe somebody wants to reach out to you, have some questions, if they want to, you know, treat you to a Lakers game and they're not a patient, how do they reach out to you?
Yeah, you could email us on our website, jetsetrehabed.com. You can email us at jetsetrehabed@gmail.com.
We're on Instagram.
Yeah, or just follow us on social media.
Yeah.
At jetsetrehabed.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We got into the social media game a little late because we're a little older than you guys, but that's been kind of interesting for us, you know, being part of that world with Jet Set. So, contact us on there. We're still learning.
Yeah, we've met some really cool people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Pretty powerful stuff, man. Pretty powerful.
Yeah.
Yep, for sure.
All right, you guys. Y'all have a great day.
Yeah, you too. I'm going to subscribe to your podcast. Sure. It's going to be on my regular rotation. You guys are doing a great job with both Whiskey Docs and Duck Legs. Keep it up because it's going to pay off for you guys in the long run. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, man. It definitely has for sure opened a lot of doors. And I'm going to go bump some Jet Set Rehab podcast for sure.
Okay. Let me know. We'll talk off the air, like how to get your podcast rolling.
Yeah, man.
You know, stuff like that. So
let's talk at some point about Austin. It would be kind of cool. Maybe in 2021, we'll figure that back out.
Oh, hell yeah.
Yeah, we'll collab. Let's collab, as they say in LA.
Let's collab. All right, y'all. Y'all have a great day.
All right.
Thank you so much for hopping on.
All right. Take care, guys.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks, guys. Bye.